Good morning. How many of you are awake? Okay, some of the rest of you are still asleep, and that's okay. All right, well, if you're a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for choosing to be with us, and we are grateful that you have come to worship with us, and we hope and pray that our worship service will be a blessing to you. Hopefully, when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out. When the offering plate comes by, just drop it in there. Or you can leave it out on the table in the foyer on the information table. Hopefully you also received a bulletin and everyone else received the bulletin. So if you have one, open it up. Let's take a look at things that are going on this morning. Right after the morning service, we are going to have a congregational meeting, a church family meeting. There are several things we need to bring to your attention. And so it's important for you to be able to stay and be a part of this informational meeting. And also, we need to, believe it or not, take action on our 2024 church budget. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? That we have to do that. But we like to do that before the first of the year so that we can enter into the first of the year with the budget already in place. And then on Wednesday at noon, the Joy Group is going to be meeting at Cracker Barrel for lunch. And if you would like to come and join us, you are more than welcome to be able to do that. In fact, we would love to be able to see you. That's Wednesday at noon at Cracker Barrel. All right? So come and just be there for that as well. Lots of other things in the bulletin, and so that's why it's important for you to be able to have a bulletin. And so we're going to get ready to get started. I'm ready to go. Are you? Well, three of you are. Worship team, are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
I guess that's what counts. They're ready to go. All right, let's praise and worship God.
Would you stand with me?
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let
and adore you this morning. You are worthy of our praise. Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you've done. Lord, we thank you for the hope that you give. And so we worship you today.
Born unto us this day, a Savior. gifted from heaven to a manger. The hope of the world, a light for all mankind. All of the earth rejoice, it's Christmas time. So lift up your voice and sing out his praise. It's Christmas, born is the King, rejoice in the day. It's Christmas, make a joyful sound. It's Christmas, let his praise resound. It's Christmas. Goodwill to all the earth and peace divine. All of the earth rejoice, it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. So lift up your voice and sing out his praise. It's Christmas, born is the King, rejoice in the day. It's Christmas, make a joyful sound. It's Christmas, let his praise resound. It's Christmas, so lift up your voice and sing out his praise. It's Christmas, born is the King, rejoice in the day. It's Christmas, make a joyful sound. It's Christmas, let his praise resound. It's Christmas, it's Christmas.
Give the Lord a round of applause if you're glad it's Christmas. Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. We're going to sing a song that is not traditionally sung at Christmas time. We sing it all throughout the year. It's Crown Him with Many Crowns. Jesus, the King in the manger.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, and rose victorious in the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. Angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends each burning eye at mysteries so bright. Crown Him the Lord of years, the potent aid of time, Creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for Thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity.
His praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. And it didn't start in Bethlehem, but we rejoice at Christmas time in Bethlehem, that first Noel.
The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
This morning's offering, if you're visiting with us, please don't feel obligated to give. We give because we worship our Father. Lord, we're so thankful. Father God, you have provided for us something that's of infinite value. You give us hope, life, and a future. Thank you. Lord, when we celebrate Christmas, when we take this time and we stop, remember, and look to you, Lord, would you be magnified in this world? Would you be glorified? We pray in your name. Amen.
Everybody likes to take a holiday. Everybody likes to take a rest. Spending time together with the family, sharing lots of love and happiness. Come on, ring those bells like a Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells. everybody say, Jesus, we remember this, your birthday. Celebrations come because of something good. Celebrations we love to recall. Mary had a baby boy in Bethlehem, the greatest celebration of them all. Come on, ring those bells like the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this, your birthday. Oh, Jesus, we remember this, your birthday. Yes, Jesus, we remember this, your birthday.
Thank you, worship team. We could have sang that a couple more times, you know? But if we did, then we'd have needed the rest afterwards, right? Get it? Yeah, right. Okay. All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for Children's Church. You do want to go to Children's Church, right? It's okay. You can say yes. I won't take it personally. All right, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful that this is Christmas season. And Father, we can hear and learn more about you. And Father, that's what this time out of our time of worship is set aside for. It's just as much a part of our worship as anything else, is to be able to hear your word. To be able to open our ears, to open our hearts, to open our lives to what it is that you want us to be able to learn about you. And so, Father, I just pray that all of those things will take place, that we will learn from your word. We will hear your word. We will listen to it, and not just listen to it, but as we leave this place in a little while, we will definitely put it into practice, into our lives, each and every one of us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to Luke chapter 2. And if you've already looked in the bulletin, you'll see that the title of the message is The Angels Raise and Hallelujah. I thought maybe we'd sing Raise and Hallelujah this morning, but that's okay. We had other songs to be able to sing. So I want to start out, I found some Christmas humor. Well, maybe it's humor. I guess it'll depend on your reflection and your evaluation. So how do sheep say Merry Christmas to each other? Feliz Navidad. Wow. They get better. What is every parent's favorite Christmas song? Silent Night. Elves use what kind of money? Jingle bells. I like that one. What happened to the man who stole an advent calendar? He got 25 days. You should like that one. What did the wise men say after they offered up their gifts of gold and frankincense? Wait, there's myrrh. William, there's myrrh. What do snowmen eat for breakfast? Ice Krispies. What? I heard a groan over here. What's the absolute best Christmas present? A broken drum. You can't beat it. Who is never hungry at Christmas? The turkey. It's always stuffed. Okay. All right. Maybe you could write some of those down and use them in some of your holiday gatherings this year. But today, we're still going to be listening to Christmas music. Now, centuries ago, God got through to some shepherds one dark and silent night as they were out doing their job. And he sent angels to get their attention, and they sure got it. We sang some hymns this morning to be able to remind us of that, didn't we? Now, God could have made his angelic announcement at the temple in the middle of the day, one of the busiest parts of the day of the temple. But this hallelujah of praise wouldn't have had the same effect. So this morning, we're going to listen to one of the most famous parts of Christmas music as we listen to the lyrics. And by the way, these lyrics were repeated by Linus in a Charlie Brown Christmas. Linus quotes directly from Luke's gospel, where he says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." pleased. So here's what I want you to remember today. God is honored and glorified when people are at peace. God is honored and glorified when people are at peace. Have you ever heard the saying, familiarity breeds contempt? What that means is that the more familiar we are with something, the easily we get bored with it. Or at worst, we start resenting it. You know, as I was working on this Christmas series, getting ready for Christmas, I kept thinking, these are some of the same verses that we go over every single year. These are some of the same things that we talk about every year at Christmas time. I wonder if people are getting tired of it. But then you know what? I woke up and I came to realize that, you know what? It comes from God's word. And we need to be excited. We need to appreciate. We need to enjoy all that we can get from God's word, even if it sounds familiar to us, even if it becomes repetitive. So this morning, I want you to try to listen to this Christmas music if you were hearing it for the first time. I want you to imagine yourself a visitor to Judea, and you're hearing this story firsthand from one of the shepherds. We're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, in the early part of God's word, being a shepherd was considered a respectable profession. But in the first century, it had lost its splendor. Now, while we tend to glamorize shepherds for our cards and Christmas hymns, shepherds made up the lowest class of people. They were not trusted as witnesses in court because they were known as liars and thieves. They were not able to keep the ceremony aspects of the law, and living out in the fields away from society made them outcasts. And when we think about that, we need to remember that Christmas is also for the marginalized, the hurting, the discouraged, the outcast, and the heavy-hearted. And these angels came to these shepherds to be able to show them something very important, that God's salvation is for everyone. Sometimes we think that God is for the good people, but in reality, he's for all people. Look at verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. An angel of the Lord. An angel of the Lord was one of God's top messengers, and it literally means from the face of God. So this angel was sent out of a specific responsibility and message. In the midst of the mundane, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a huge display of glory and power. Into the darkness of a silent night came the brightness of the glory of the Lord. When the messenger appeared, God's glory exploded all around these shepherds. And the word glory refers to God's beauty and brightness. In the Old Testament, glory is pictured with power and splendor and holiness. And I can only imagine these shepherds standing there, rubbing their eyes and shaking in their sandals, because it tells us that they were filled with great fear. And that's an understatement, because it means they were alarmed and agitated. In fact, the Greek word megas is used here, which means they were mega afraid. We know what the word mega means, right? Now look at verses 10 through 12. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So once again, an angel must tell humans to not be afraid because God is at work. Remember when the angel came to Zechariah? We looked at that just a couple weeks ago. And the angel said to Zechariah, don't be afraid. Remember Zechariah saw it out of the corner of his eye? And then he got fearful because nobody was supposed to be in the Holy of Holies with him as the high priest. And then the angel said, don't be afraid. And then when the angel came and appeared to Mary and delivered God's message to Mary, she told Mary, don't be afraid. And now the angel of the Lord has come to be able to be with the shepherds. And the first thing that they tell the shepherds is, fear not. Don't be afraid, because God is at work. The angel said to Zechariah, God is at work. The angel said to Mary, God is at work. The angel said to the shepherds, God is at work. And this Christmas, maybe God is speaking to you and he's saying, God is at work. Whatever it is that you're going on, whatever's going on in your life, whatever it is that you're going through, God is at work. The reason why they did not need to be afraid is because the messenger was bringing good news of great joy that will be for just some of the people. Nope. For all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Remember, the angel told Zechariah, a Savior's coming. And your son, named John, is going to be the one that's going to prepare the way for when the Savior comes. Remember, the angel told Mary, your son is going to be the Savior of the world. His name shall be Jesus, because he is going to save his people from what? Their sins. And now the angels proclaim to the shepherds that the Savior has come. So let's take a few moments and let's break down this angelic alleluia. The angel said, this is good news. This is where we get the word gospel and evangelize. At its heart, Christmas is the good news that must be shared with others. The good news of what? That the one with the most presents underneath the tree, they're the happiest? Is that what that means? No. The one that can sing all of the Christmas songs and all of the Christmas hymns by heart without looking at the words? No. The one that tallies up the most Christmas gatherings during the Christmas season? No. What's the good news? The Savior is here. The Savior has come. And guess what? Christmas is a wonderful time for us to be able to what? Tell the message to those who haven't come to believe in Jesus as Savior, that the Savior is here. He's come. He's here. And we celebrate that this time of year. The angel said that this is news of great joy. This good news should cause exceedingly great joy. This is the word Mega again. Indeed, there is joy to the world because the Savior has come. I asked somebody here not too long ago, just a few days ago, I said, so how's Christmas going? And they went, oh, I still got to buy for this person. I still got to buy for this person. I still got gifts that I got to wrap. I still have cookies that I've got to bake. I still have treats that I've got to deliver. And I'm thinking, you've missed it. You've really missed it. And I said, you know what Christmas really is all about? It's about celebrating the Savior. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about celebrating the Savior. And this person stepped back and went, oh, thanks. I needed to be reminded of that. Sometimes we need to be reminded that this time of year is for us to be able to what? Enjoy the joy that comes with knowing what? That the Savior has come. It's for all the people. This good news is not just for one group, but for the whole world. The angel said, today, this event happened on the right day at a specific time in history. This is not an accident. This is rooted in time, in God's time. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 said, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. Remember what happened before this fullness of time? For 400 years, remember what happened before? Nothing. There was a time of silence. Israel didn't hear from God. The world didn't hear from God for 400 years. But then Paul in Galatians says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. The angel goes on to say, in the town of David, in order to fulfill God's promise of a Savior, Jesus had to be a direct descendant of King David, and he was. And Bethlehem is the proof of that. A Savior. The name Jesus means Savior or Deliverer. He came to save us from our sins. Born to you. I like that. Christmas is always personal. Specifically, the angel announced that the birth of Jesus was for those shepherds personally. And that announcement continues on in today, to today, because the truth of the gift of the Savior is that he was born for you. He was born for me. He was born for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who's that for? For you, for me, for the whole world. Jesus was born to you as well. Christ, this is the Greek word for Messiah or anointed one. Lord, Jesus is God, and he desires the full measure of our heart and life. And as the shepherds are trying to process the message from this messenger sent by God, they are surprised again, because this proclamation is punctuated with an explosion of praise. Look at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, this word suddenly means that this heavenly host came unexpectedly and without warning. The descriptive word multitude means there were so many that it was impossible to count. The sky was filled with a multitude of mighty messengers. The shepherds watched and listened as heaven opened, and they saw hundreds and thousands of angelic worship team members worshiping and praising God. You think our worship team is great? You should have been there for this. I mean, our worship team is great, amen? But this worship team, wow, this is heavenly. This is great. Our worship team is good. They're great, but not like this. This Christmas music is different from the others that we've seen in this series, because it's not a hymn that rose up from a hymn or a her, but it's a song of praise that came straight out of heaven, given to those shepherds and given to us as we are able to read it from God's word. It comes straight to us out of heaven. Imagine the scene. These angels had been praising in the heavenly courts, but now their adoration takes place in a different venue as they praise on earth, just like they've always done in heaven. And notice that these angels speak, not sing, their Christmas carol. Look at verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. While this is a special time of year, there's nothing special about Christmas if one does not know the Christ of Christmas. The angels wanted these shepherds to be able to know the Christ of Christmas. Because you see, Jesus came for the glory of God and for the salvation of all people. The highest degree of glory to God is connected with the giving of his Son. It all starts in heaven with God's perfect plan of redemption and reconciliation. And it's available to all who believe in Emmanuel, God with us, as Savior. John chapter 1, verse 12 tells us, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children after God. You know, as we look at this appearance and announcement and worship of the angels to the shepherds, and the message of peace, it tells me that peace comes only after praising. Isn't that true? When we come here on Sunday morning and we have an opportunity to lift our hearts and our voices in praise to God, aren't we at peace? No matter what it is that was going on in our lives before we assembled in this place, no matter what it is that from Monday to Saturday night, what happened in our lives, when we come to this place and our worship team graciously and with their gifts given to them by God, help us lift our voices and our hearts in praise. Don't we kind of go, yes, and we're at what? Peace. For a little while, we're at peace. Peace comes after praising. So then, if that's the case, then we must put God and his glory first and let the peace come. Now, it's interesting. The word peace appears over 400 times in God's word. Do you think it's something that God wants for every single one of us, is for us to be at peace? Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a little more detail. In the Old Testament, peace is the word shalom, and is a state of wholeness and harmony that is intended to resonate in all relationships. And when used as a greeting, shalom was a wish for outward freedom from disturbance, as well as an inward sense of well-being. The word peace, however, in the New Testament, means joined together, to set at one again. It has the idea of gluing something back together. This is what Jesus came to do, to put us back together with God. Sin had separated us from God, but Jesus joined us back together with God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14 says, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our, what's the word? Peace. Who has made us both one. You see, Jesus came to be the Savior, but he also came to be the reconciler, to be able to reconcile us back to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21 says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, the Savior came, yes, to forgive us of our sins. Yes, to give us eternal life. Yes, to be able to reconcile us back to God. But he also came so that we could be made the righteousness of God in what he did for us on the cross. Now, peace comes to all who praise God and give him glory. Let's look at a little bit more detail of this peace. First, let's look at the peace with God. If you're taking notes on the back of the bulletin, this is point number one, peace with God. While God loves us, we are separated from him because of our sinfulness. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you and I can now be at peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, now that we have been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How are we justified? By believing in Jesus as Savior. And when that takes place, we have peace with God. God the Father poured out his wrath on his Son, who died in our place as our sin substitute. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this. We don't deserve this peace. We don't deserve this peace to mankind on whom God's favor rests. In fact, what we do deserve is death and eternal punishment. But because of God's great love, he provided a way for us to be set at one again with the Creator God. And God's peace and God's justice converged on the cross of Calvary. His love and the payment for sin was completely satisfied in the sacrificial death of Jesus. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have peace with God today? Or are you far away from him? Because God's peace comes to earth one heart at a time. We can also have peace with God. That's the second point. To have peace of God eternally, internally and eternally, we must first experience peace with God vertically. The upward dimension must be taken care of before inward peace can take hold of our lives. Those at peace with God can experience the peace of God. Shortly before Jesus died, he made this promise. It's recorded in John chapter 14 and verse 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Why shouldn't our hearts be afraid? Why shouldn't our hearts be troubled? Because we have the peace that Jesus gave to us, that is ours when we believe on what he did for us at the cross, when we believe in him as Savior. And then there's peace with others. When we're at peace with God and have internal peace, we can then be at peace with others. And Romans chapter 14 and verse 19 shows us our responsibility. It says, "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." Are you planting peace in others, or are you sowing seeds of strife? Is there anyone you need to make things right with? Anyone you need to be at one with or at peace with? Are you in conflict this Christmas with someone in your family or in your friends or in your coworkers or in your classmates? Maybe a poisonous weed of bitterness has grown down deep in your life. It's time to let it go. And maybe the best Christmas present you could give to someone is to make peace with them. Because you see, God's Christmas message is a very personal message. I hope you got that this morning. Now, a while ago, I received a phone call while here in my office that made me feel very special. The voice addressed me by name and then told me not to hang up. I was assured that it was not a sales call and was asked to stay on the line. I was then told that I was selected to participate in a 30-second survey about our nation's border crisis. I felt so honored. I felt so honored that this computer-generated call with a computer-generated voice had especially selected me for such an extremely important message. So I hung up the phone very quickly, because it wasn't what? Personal. I'm glad that God's not like that. His message is meant to be very personal. He doesn't need you to fill out a survey because he knows everything about you. He cares so much for you that he sent Jesus that first Christmas to be your Savior. Please, please, please don't hang up on him. Jesus was born to the whole world,
but he was also born to you and for you. Now, Christmas is his story, but it must become your story if it hasn't already. Is Jesus your Savior? Can you truly say at Christmas, this Christmas, that you know Jesus as Savior, you believe in him, and you've received from him that gift of eternal life because you believe in what it is that he's done for you on the cross? He did something for you that you cannot do for yourself. He sacrificially paid the debt of sin that you owed. And all he asks is that you just believe in him as Savior. Is Jesus your Savior? Is Jesus your source of blessing? Or are you dependent on other things to be able to make your life what you hope it will be? And then is Jesus your source of peace? He wants you to have the peace of God. He wants you to have that peace with God. And he wants you to have that peace with others. Father, I'm so thankful that the angels you used centuries ago to be able to deliver this message of peace to the shepherds still rings true today. Father, may this be the Christmas that we can absolutely say with certainty that we have peace of God. We have peace with God, and we have peace with others. We do believe in Jesus as Savior. We do allow him to be the source of all our blessings and allow him to be the source of our peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us for this last song?
Do you find it hard to sleep tonight, resting by the Christmas lights? Could there be something you forgot? Beyond the boughs and mistletoe, the tree with presents wrapped below, there's more to this than you had ever thought. Have we lost the reason that we celebrate each year? What is Christmas if there never was a Savior wrapped in a manger? What is Christmas without Christ? Remember how the story goes. God's gift was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Beneath the star, one great and holy night. The shepherds heard the angels sing. The wise men brought an offering. Peace on earth began in Bethlehem. Have we lost the reason that we celebrate each year? What is Christmas if there never was a Savior wrapped in a manger? What is Christmas if the angels never sing glory to the newborn King? What is Christmas without Christ? There'd be no glory. The anxious is Christmas, if there never was a Savior wrapped in a manger, what is Christmas without Christ? This is Christmas, it's all about a Savior wrapped in a manger. This is Christmas because of Jesus Christ.
'cause I've cried.